From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nicole Ogrisco with the news on this day in Maine, Tuesday, May 19th, 2026. More than 30 agents from the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives have set up a base in the Searsmont Town Hall to investigate the cause of a deadly fire and explosion in a silo at Robbins Lumber Mill Friday. At a press conference today, Chief Fire Investigator Joel Davis of the State Fire Marshal's Office said investigators have been on the scene since Friday, conducting interviews and sorting through debris.
Today, investigators are using heavy equipment more to remove the remains of a large pieces of metal in the area of where the silo is so they can get in under where the incident happened.
The State Fire Marshal's Office also expressed gratitude to the more than 40 fire departments and about 300 firefighters who have been helping manage the scene over the past few days. Eight people continue to be hospitalized for injuries from Friday's explosion at the lumber mill in Searsmont. Three members of the Robbins family remain in critical condition at Mass General Brigham. Five others are at Maine Medical Center in Portland, including firefighter Catherine Page of the Belmont Fire Department. Chief Ron Harford says Page has been with the department for more than a decade and was Firefighter of the Year in 2025.
She's a rock star. Anything I ask her to do, she's there. She's thinking ahead of us.
He says Paige was waiting to go into the basement of the silo Friday at Robbins Lumber when it exploded. He says her face and hands were badly burned. She faces a long road ahead. Family members have launched a GoFundMe to help cover expenses. Meantime, the town of Searsmont is coordinating two fundraisers to support people affected by the mill explosion last week. The Robbins Lumber Disaster Relief Fund will give direct financial support to residents affected by the fire. Searsmont officials say donations can be made in person at the town office or by mail. The town is also partnering with Maine Strong Memorial Foundation to support injured first responders. Officials say 100% of donations will be distributed equally, and the foundation will match the first $1,000 raised for each responder. Donations can be made online. Maine's fire marshal has urged people who want to support those affected by the explosion to ensure they're donating to verified organizations or families of victims. The U.S. Senate voted Monday to confirm Judge Andrew Benson's appointment as U.S. Attorney for the state of Maine. Kevin Miller has more.
Benson served as a state district court judge for more than a decade before President Donald Trump nominated him last September to take over the job of U.S. Attorney in Maine. He's held the position in an interim capacity since late October. Republican Senator Susan Collins voted to confirm Benson and more than 40 other nominees who were put forward as a group Monday evening. Independent Senator Angus King had not objected to Benson's nomination, but he opposed the block of nominees because King's office said the group included many individuals with, quote, highly questionable track records. King and Democrats wanted separate votes on nominees. The Senate also voted to confirm former Lewiston Police Chief David St. Pierre's appointment as U.S. Marshal for the state of Maine. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Kevin Miller.
Maine Senator Susan Collins is criticizing a Trump administration proposal to slash funding to programs that support domestic violence survivors. During a budget hearing today, Collins pressed Acting Attorney General Todd Blanche why the administration is seeking a roughly 25% cut to programs under the Federal Violence Against Women Act. The Republican said the Rural Victims Program is particularly important in Maine. Blanche said the administration is asking for more than $500 million for those programs, but that spending choices had to be made as part of a budget.
So yes, we are asking less money than the budget had last year, but it's not because we don't view it as extraordinarily important.
Well, I would suggest that cutting the budget for these important programs by 25% is a huge cut.
Collins is chairwoman of the Senate Appropriations Committee. Maine Governor Janet Mills is getting involved in the race that will determine her successor. As Steve Missler reports, Mills is endorsing former House Speaker Hannah Pingree.
Pingree is one of five Democrats running to replace Mills when her second and final term ends early next year. Despite the difference in age, Mills is 78 and Pingree is 49, their political careers have been connected since they both served in the legislature between 2002 and 2009. Mills then brought Pingree into her administration in 2019, tapping her to lead a revamped state planning office that oversaw the governor's climate and housing initiatives. Now Mills is backing her bid to win the Blaine House.
Hannah Pingree has what it takes to stand up to Donald Trump and win. I'm voting for Hannah Pingree for governor, and you should too.
Former Senate President Troy Jackson, Secretary of State Shenna Bellows, Angus King III, and Nirav Shah, Mills' former CDC director, are also vying for the Democratic nomination on June 9th. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
Eight former residents of the Maine Youth Center, now known as the Long Creek Youth Development Center, are alleging in a federal lawsuit that they were repeatedly physically, sexually, and psychologically abused as minors while they were held at the facility between 1992 and 1999. Their 234-page lawsuit names the Maine Department of Corrections and more than 50 people who worked at the youth center during the 1990s as defendants. In graphic detail, the unnamed plaintiffs describe what they say were gratuitous strip searches and widespread sexual assaults by staff, beatings including being punched and choked until they passed out, being restrained in a chair with metal handcuffs as punishment, and held in isolation for weeks and months at a time in cells with poor ventilation and no windows. As a result, the lawsuit alleges that many struggle with lifelong mental health issues that have prevented them from holding a job or living successfully on their own. It asks for unspecified damages. A spokesperson for the Maine DOC said she could not comment on pending litigation. Old Orchard Beach has long relied on Canadians for a significant portion of its summer guests, but continued chilly relations with the U.S. are taking their toll on Canadian bookings. Even so, as Carol Bousquet reports, there could be a silver lining this summer.
Memorial Day, the unofficial start of summer, has innkeepers and shop owners in Old Orchard Beach sprucing up for what they hope is a successful summer season. The historic pier is preparing to entertain guests. The Palace Playland is getting ready to debut a new roller coaster. Town manager Diana Asanza says the iconic beach town has no match.
Seeing the lights at night, I mean, when you're driving up into Old Orchard Beach and you see that, it is something. It really is. It's so different from anywhere else around here. And it's kind of fun to be, you know, in the middle of that. And it's summer. You definitely know it's summer.
On the main drag, hotels Quebec 3 and Edgewater are perched on sand dunes, steps from the ocean. Inside, innkeeper Pierre Janelle and front desk agent Kaylee McKenzie are checking the computer and going over bookings.
How's the K3 look?
88% full on Saturday.
Oh, good, good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 97% full for the Edgewater.
Janelle says his guest lists are full of families that come here from other places in the U.S. every year, and the ritual continues as their children grow up and have their own kids. He says Canadians' bookings are down to 13% from 20% since President Donald Trump took office, sparking a trade war with his northern neighbor. His rhetoric about Canada becoming the 51st state insulted many Canadians.
If a market shrinks and another market doesn't expand, the properties on the beach will be all right, but it will hurt the town overall because not everybody benefits equally.
Becky Jacobson is executive director of Hospitality Maine.
There's a lot of uncertainty with, you know, the world and the economy and gas prices and food prices and you name it. And everybody's feeling that pinch a little bit. So some of the smaller properties just seem to be getting hit a little harder with slow booking.
Mandy Cody manages the Old Orchard Beach campground and says Canadians are still staying away, so the campground targeted its marketing to other regions.
reservations for this year trending up compared to last year at the same time. So we have an optimistic outlook on the 2026 season.
Cody says she represented the campground at a trade show in Montreal earlier this year, and Canadians told her they wouldn't be back until Trump is out of office. Still, she says the 108-acre resort is adding another 100 campsites next year. While sky-high gas prices might keep some visitors away, Janelle says they could work in the beach town's favor.
With the scarcity of jet fuel and the cost of airline and airplane tickets going up, a driving vacation is much more accessible.
And a good weather forecast can inspire weekend plans in a heartbeat. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Carol Bousquet.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, voter priorities. I'm Nicole LeGrisco. Thanks for listening.